بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلامنا على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Imagine that you heard that an expert, renowned doctor, who's known all around the world, was coming to town. And this doctor is known for giving treatments which, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have cured many people. And these treatments are known for curing many, many different types of illnesses. And he's also known for doing tests and being able to tell which diseases and illnesses you may have coming. So you want to get a checkup. You want to get treatments. You want to get treatment for the ailments that you know that you have and those that you don't know that you have. So you go to see him. You get an appointment. You line up. You go see him. And when you go, he does your tests and he looks at you and he asks you a few questions. And he prescribes for you. First of all, he tells you that you're in bad shape. So you need lots of work. And he prescribes for you 50 different pills and special foods to have every single day. He prescribes for you 50 different pills and special foods that you must take every day at particular times of the day. And when you walk out of there, you think, okay, what have I got myself into? Because how am I going to manage 50 different types of medication and different types of food at special times, specific times through the day? So you go back. You go back to the doctor and you make a request and you say, Doc, look, I really respect your knowledge and your authority in this field, but really, you know, taking 50 different pills and different types of food, special food at specific times every single day is a bit difficult for me. So can you do something to make it a bit easier? So the doc thinks for a little bit, and he says, okay, I can write you 5 powerful pills. And these are high doses, right? These are powerful doses, and they'll cover for 10 of the pills and of the foods that I had originally told you to take. So now it becomes easier for you because now you only have to manage 5 of these super pills. But he gives you a warning. He gives you a warning and he says that you must not miss a dose. You must not miss a dose, and it's extremely important for your treatment and for maintaining your good health, that you must not miss any of these doses and you must take them on time. And if you miss one, or if you don't take one on time, then take it as soon as possible and don't delay. Otherwise, what will happen, if you're not careful about this, your ailments will not get cured, your immune system will suffer, you will be susceptible to getting new diseases, even more on top of what you already have. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is Salah for the believers. This is prayer for the believers. The command for Salah was originally a 50 per day. Can you imagine that? Right? Sometimes we struggle juggling 5 in a day. Right? Imagine if you had to stop and pray 50 times a day. What would life be like? What would life be like if somebody told you you had to pray 50 times a day? Right? So eventually it was lessened. It became less and less and less until it became 5 prayers per day. And this is a high dose prescription. Right? You're getting 5, or you're supposed to do 5 instead of 50. But they're really, these 5 are worth 10 each. So it gives you an idea about how important and how powerful they each are. And if you miss one, if you miss even one, just like if you miss one dose of your medication, it can seriously throw you off. But if they're done properly, If these five doses are taken properly every single day at the proper time, then these five salawat, these five prayers, they provide a live, direct, supercharged connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's live, it's direct, and it's supercharged. Right? It has a lot in it. It's a very powerful connection. And these are crucial for our well-being. These are crucial for our well-being. Think about it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this obligatory for all the believers. Allah has made the prayers, the five prayers, obligatory for all the believers. Right? Beginning from as soon as a person becomes an adult Islamically, you know, reaches puberty. From that time all the way till the time of death, you know, except in special circumstances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory on every single person. Right? So even if you're ill, right, and you're not able to, you know, move properly, if you have pain, right, the prayer, if you're in a proper state of mind and you're in a state of purity, the salah is still obligatory upon you. Right, so the question is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so important and has placed so much emphasis in it, can you imagine how much power it actually has? How much of an effect it actually has? How many blessings it actually contains? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these things, all of Allah's commands, and this is very important to understand, and I mention this over and over again, all of this guidance, all of these commands are for our own benefit. When Allah tells us to do something, it's for our own good. It's to help us, it's to guide us, it's to protect us. Okay, so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this obligatory, imagine how much good there is in it and how much benefit must be packed into it. And you pay attention to the words. When the adhan is given, when the call to prayer is given, what are the words? Hayya ala salah. Right, come towards salah. Hayya ala al-falah. Come towards success. Come towards success. So what are we learning? What do we understand? That our salah is an essential part of our success, of our true success. It's an essential ingredient of being truly successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And he says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember Allah. He tells us, he says, remember. Remember me, remember Allah in abundance. Right? Remember me in abundance so that you may be successful. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may be successful. And Allah also tells us that verily in the remembrance of Allah, what is there? Peace and solace for the hearts. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. In the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will attain peace. True peace deep inside. True happiness, true contentment will come through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, the prayer, is the utmost way of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the best way, the utmost, the highest way that a person can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if we want true success, if we truly want to be successful in all our affairs, even business, right? Because when we recite, you know, sometimes we recite the ending of Suratul Jumu'ah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمَعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْتِ. You know, when the call is made for the Friday prayer, go leave, you know, your affairs, leave your business, go. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and tells us, first He tells us that this is better for you. So if you actually have to leave your affairs, and you feel like you have to leave your business or your work for a little bit, and you think that it might actually be harmful, it's not. Right? If you would have known, if you would have truly known, you would understand that remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of more benefit for you. It's going to help you out in the long run. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout these few verses, continuously reminds us that you must remember Allah to be successful. We're just talking about like business affairs. He says, after the prayer is done, go out. After the prayer is done, go out on Allah's earth and search for the bounties of Allah. Right? So go back to work, go back to your business, do whatever you need to do to earn a halal income. But Allah still reminds us, right? In that context, remember Allah to be successful. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essential for success. Okay, so if you want true success, excuse me, in all our affairs, if you want true peace of mind, if you want true contentment, then first and foremost is our salah, and our salah, our prayer has to be in order. So this is definitely something worth paying attention to. Not just a ritual, not just an exercise, not just something which we have grown up with, or we see other people doing, so we just sort of follow along. Right? Or my parents have always taught me to pray, so I pray because, you know, my parents are looking at me. Or my co-workers or my family members are going to look down upon me. Oh, I need to be a good example for my children. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But the focus has got to be on the actual salah itself and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized the importance of salah, mentioning that the first matter that the servant will be brought to account for on the Day of Judgment is prayer. The first matter that the servant will be brought to account for on the Day of Judgment is the prayer. And this is where it gets a little scary. If it is sound, if the prayer is sound, then the rest of his deeds will be sound. And if it is bad, then the rest of his deeds will be bad as well. So the way we deal with our salah, the way we offer our salah, the way we perceive our salah, the way we feel during our salah, all of these things contribute towards what is going to happen in the end. Right? And if you think about it, it's true. Right? Salah is a great indicator for us. Our prayers, our salah is a great indicator for us. If I am truly concerned about my salah, I make it a priority. I try to offer it on time. I try to improve it, and I try to feel that connection with Allah during my prayer, then most chances are that this consciousness that I have 5 times a day, throughout different times of the day, will translate into other actions of mine as well. Right? If I am focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day in my prayers, if I'm focused on tuning myself towards Allah, and I'm becoming conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least for these short periods of time, 5 times a day, then there's a good chance that that consciousness will translate into my other actions as well. On the other hand, if my salah is lacking, right, if my prayer is lacking, then most chances are my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak, my relationship with Allah is suffering, and I'm going to deal most likely with my other actions in a state of carelessness and heedlessness. Okay, so clearly salah is an indicator of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah makes it very clear in the Quran, He talks about the munafiqun, right? The hypocrites who claim to be the believers, but inside their hearts they were not believers. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. And when they stand up for salah, now we should listen to this very carefully, and this applies to myself. Right, a lot of times I talk, right, and I'm just benefiting myself primarily. Because believe it or not, even such minor things, when I actually go over it, and even if I look at my notes like from a few years back, like when I first started giving khutbahs, I look back and I'm like, oh, I really said that? Oh my goodness, I should think about this. Right? So it's a reminder for myself first, but let's reflect on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they stand up, so He's talking about the munafiqun. Talking about the people who claim to be believers, but really in reality they weren't. Allah says, when they stand up for salah, the prayer, they stand with laziness. They stand with laziness. Oh, I can't pray again. Oh, dear. They stand with laziness. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They stand with laziness and to be seen of people, to show people, right? Because they want to be seen that, okay, they're praying. So that is the state of their prayers. Allah says, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do not remember Allah, but just a little bit. They do not remember Allah, but just a little bit. Now, I must reflect on my own prayer, first and foremost. Right? When I stand up for prayer, first of all, what's my state? Am I feeling lazy? Am I feel like I'm being forced to do it, even though no one's really forcing me to do it, but I sort of know I have to do it, so I get up. I say, okay, and there's like 10 million other things on my mind. Okay, I say Allahu Akbar, right? And those are the times when I actually remember Allah. I read Surah Al-Fatiha, and I read it, so I'm actually, you know, my tongue, I'm remembering Allah. But truly, in my mind, in my heart, how much am I focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I actually falling into this category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing? May Allah protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, because we don't want to be having the traits of the munafiqun. On the flip side, think of a really important phone call. Think of a really, really, really important phone call you've had to take in the past. So it could be a job interview, it could be, you know, a news interview, I've done those. And, you know, my experience is that before the interview, I'm like, okay, I've got my time set. I don't want to be in the bathroom when the call comes, right? So I want to make sure everything's done. I want to make sure I had my meal. I don't want to be hungry, right? The kids are all away. I'm locked up in a room, you know, nice and quiet, focused, attentive, well-prepared. Right? So I want to think about, okay, if it's a job interview, how am I going to deal with this question? How am I going to deal with that question? What am I going to say? What questions am I going to ask at the end? So on and so forth. Right? My weaknesses, how am I going to portray them as strengths? You know, all these things that go through your mind when you're doing job interviews. Right? So you've thought about all these things. If I'm doing a media interview, either giving one or conducting one, then I have thought about, okay, what questions am I going to ask? What answers am I going to give? What are my talking points? I'm well prepared. Okay, I'm well prepared because I practiced beforehand and I want to be perfect. And such is the case of the believers when they come to the prayers. Such is the attitude of the believers toward the prayers, because this is a conversation, a direct link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the believer is attentive, is prepared, and is in the right frame of mind when going into this conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. And what's the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions among the qualities of the believers? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who offer their salat, those who offer their prayers with being in a state of khushu'. They offer their prayers while being in a state of khushu'. One of the primary qualities of the believers who are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Right? Indeed, the successful are the believers immediately after that. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who offer their prayers in a state of khushu', in a state of perfect concentration, you know, not allowing any thoughts to enter their minds and their hearts, other than the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With calmness, with serenity, with tranquility, with dignity, and with humility. And with humility. Because my dear brothers and sisters, if we offer our salah, and we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, but if you're still arrogant, we've missed the point of salah. We've offered our salah. Right? But we've missed one of the major benefits, one of the major points of offering salah, which is to become humble. Which is to become humble because we are putting our heads on the ground. In front of who? In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Symbolizing that yes, we submit. Not just physically, but my intellect. Right? The most prized creation. Right? The best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mind. It too submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart, the entire body, the nafs, everything submits in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we offer our salah, if we finish the prayer, and we're still going out, right, and with arrogance, and an attitude of you know, just following our own desires, then we've missed one of the main benefits, one of the main points of offering salah. So 5 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and we can go on and on with, you know, each of the actions and each of the supplications and recitations that we do in salah. But when we are making sujood and we are putting our head and our brain, our intellect, our entire body in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's that we are truly Muslims. We are truly submitting, right? Islam is submission, right? So we're submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His will. In any case, so the believers offer their prayers in a state of khushu', in a state of calmness and serenity and tranquility and dignity and humility. So salah is the greatest means in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our spiritual connection. If our salah is suffering and if our prayers are lacking, then that means our spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also lacking. So this must be an area of focus if we want to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to start with that which is obligatory. And the prayers are the obligatory act of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's where I and we must all start. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. Allah says, take due care of all the prayers. Take due care of all the prayers, and especially the middle prayer. And especially the middle prayer. And stand before Allah in total devotion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, you must take care of this. Pay attention to it. Protect it. Safeguard it. And I was looking at the difference why it's not hafidhu salawat, right? Why is it hafidhu ala salawat? Right? And the word ala, if I'm not mistaken, if it comes with hafid, right? It's to emphasize it and to say that this is something in which you have an interest. This is something which belongs to you or something which you need to safeguard. Right? Even more so, not just something which is abstract, but something which is very valuable and it is in your interest or you have an interest in it. So this is something that you must really, really, you know, be careful about and really protect and work hard to safeguard and to protect. Now what is happening is, of course, subhanAllah, you know, the time is changing, the seasons are changing, and you know, we're going a little bit back and forth. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get warm, we get cold, but nonetheless what's happening is that the time is changing. And we know that. This is one of the amazing things, right? When we think about it, in the winter time we are offering, you know, you can offer your Isha at around 6, 6:15, 6:30, right, in the evening. And sooner or later, before we know it, actually in Ramadan, right, because Ramadan is coming to be right in the middle of the year, on the longest days of the year, you know, Isha is going to be almost at 11 o'clock, right? And the same thing with Fajr, right? At times we have Fajr and sunrise happening past 7 o'clock, and slowly it's coming back now, very quickly, very quickly. So every day we'll be moving, you know, closer, the nights will be getting shorter, and sooner or later, next thing you know, we'll be offering Fajr here at 4:30, 4:35, 4:40 in the morning. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something especially about the Fajr prayer. Because then again, you think about the wisdom. Allah has made it obligatory for the believers to get up in the morning and offer prayer. There's got to be some wisdom behind it. There's got to be some real benefit in it for the believers. That Allah has actually, you know, made it so that we have to get up, perhaps inconvenience ourselves, get up, make wudu, pray at home, or go to the masjid. Even today, mashallah, we had brothers who were here. The weather was bad. Weathers were bad. I got up, you know, went outside. The windows were all frosted with freezing rain. But, mashallah, brothers were here before I was. Right? And they were here to offer their Fajr prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Fajr prayer, and He says, إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. But indeed, the recitation of Fajr, right? Because this, ideally, the recitation of the Fajr prayer should be longer than the other prayers. Right? So if you've noticed that, if you go to a masjid, especially if you go to the Haramain, go to Mecca, you go to Medina, other places as well, you notice that the recitation for the Fajr prayer is somewhat long. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quranic recitation of Fajr is witnessed. Is witnessed. In the Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. It is witnessed. So what does that mean? We learn from the authentically transmitted hadith that it is the angels that witnessed this recitation at Fajr time. It is the angels that especially witnessed the recitation of the Fajr prayer. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are angels. So understand this, right? Pay attention to this, please. There are angels who take turns. There are angels, groups of angels, who take turns in visiting you by night and by day. And they all assemble at the dawn, at the Fajr time, and in the afternoon, at the Asr prayer. So when do these angels assemble? Fajr and Asr. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on, he says, those who have spent the night with you, meaning the angels, they ascend to the heaven and their Lord and their Rabb, who knows better about the whole situation, knows better about them. But he asks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels, in what condition did you leave my slaves? In what condition did you leave my slaves? So when you had this change of shifts, this change of duties, in what condition did you leave my slaves? And they reply, we left them while they were performing salat, and we went to them while they were performing salat. Okay? So there's special emphasis on, of course, all the prayers, but specifically on the Fajr and the Asr prayers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about all of this. Right? But remember what the angels said in the beginning when Allah was creating the human being. Right? What did they say about the creation of Adam alayhi salam? Right? They were doubtful. They said, well, you know, these creations are going to cause bloodshed and they're going to cause, you know, problems on the earth. Whereas, you know, the angels were there to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the angels to know that yes, this human being, that even though I have given him the ability, I have given them the ability to make the choice between right and wrong, and yes, they have weaknesses and they do many bad things, but they still, with their free will, choose to worship me. The angels have no choice, they have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But the human being, even with the free will, does turn to me and does worship me, and you have seen that now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing it out to the angels, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says regarding the Fajr prayer, مَنْ صَلَّى الصُّبْحِ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. This is very powerful. The person who offers the Fajr prayer will come under the protection of Allah. مَنْ صَلَّى الصُّبْحِ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. That the person who offers the Fajr prayer will come under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, I know that, you know, as the time goes back, and as because we have commitments, we have to get up for work, for school, all these things. But it's in the winter time, and it's very close to our time of getting up, then it's very simple, it's very easy. Right? But as time goes back now, for Fajr, it can become more and more challenging, and I know how it is. So one of the, so here are some suggestions, for myself of course as well. So try to head to bed immediately after Isha prayer. Immediately after Isha, try to go straight to bed. And before doing so, recite the dua of sleeping. So before we go to sleep, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Recite Ayatul Kursi. Recite Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before going to bed. Now I've also noticed, so even if I'm staying up late, sometimes, you know, for a khutbah or something else, the later I stay up, the harder it becomes, of course, naturally, to get up for Fajr time. So we must try to resist the temptation of staying up and doing other things. Try to go to bed and indeed wake up early, pray Fajr, and then do your work. Right? Do your work instead of staying up late and then missing the Fajr prayer. Perhaps try setting multiple alarm clocks, right? Multiple phones, each one set, you know, for 5 minutes after the other. Keep them out of reach so you can't hit the snooze button, right? Without stepping out of bed. And they've actually, I found a very interesting alarm clock. I was telling some of the brothers, it was probably on Kijiji deals or something. It was actually an alarm clock with wheels. Okay? It was an alarm clock with wheels. I'm serious about this, I'm not joking. Okay? You can find it if you switch online. It comes on sale from time to time. Okay, so you set the alarm, and as soon as the time comes for the alarm to go on, it rolls down and it starts moving around the room. Okay, really loud. Okay, and it starts moving around. So it's annoying, right? And you can't hit the snooze button because it's constantly moving around. And by the time you get up and to turn it off, then you're already up. And you feel like, okay, you might as well just get out of my life. So that is perhaps something that you might want to consider as well. Resolve, convince yourself. Make a commitment that you're not going to hit the snooze button. Make a commitment that you're not going to hit the snooze button. And resist the temptation for a few more minutes. And wallahi, this is how shaitan plays with our minds and gets us to miss the Fajr prayer. Right? The alarm goes off. You say, okay, a few more minutes, another 5 more minutes. Right, 5 more minutes, 5 more minutes, 5 more minutes. Next thing you know, the sun is out. Right? And shaitan's laughing and your salah has been missed. Consider missing the Fajr prayer a big deal. Okay, if it happens, make it a big deal for ourselves. Because it really depends on how we see it. If we get used to it, and we miss every other day, and we say, oh, it's not a big deal, okay, it happens to me every day. No, make it a big deal. So that if you actually end up missing the prayer, then you force yourself to get up as soon as you realize that you've missed, even if it's, you know, sun past sunrise. Make wudu and pray as soon as possible. Don't delay it till dhuhr time. Don't delay it for tomorrow. Okay, so make it important for yourself that you have to offer it as soon as possible. Go to bed with the sincere intention of offering Fajr prayer in the morning. So go with that intention, not with a so-so intention that, okay, if I get up, then I get up. If I don't get up, well, maybe it's from Allah that He's allowing me to sleep a bit longer, so I will enjoy it. No, go with the intention that, yes, I definitely want to wake up, inshallah. And finally, make dua, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in granting you a peaceful sleep and the ability to wake up for Fajr. Now, recently, some students in Toronto at the Islamic Foundation School made a video regarding waking up for Fajr with some tips. It was somewhat humorous as well, and I think I shared it on my wall on Facebook. But some of theirs, they had some interesting suggestions. So one of them was actually to drink a lot of water. Okay, so drink a lot of water before you go to bed, because the idea is that, first of all, water is good for your body, but more importantly, you will likely won't be able to sleep for too long and get into too deep of a sleep. So perhaps that will help in getting up for Fajr. And another suggestion they had was to have a buddy system. Okay, to have a buddy system where you have, you know, two people who say, okay, I'm going to text you or call you, and they do that to each other. Except I think in the video, one of them called the wrong number, He was waking up the wrong person. It was not even a Muslim. So just be careful about the number that you dial if you do happen to use the buddy system. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to improve our relationship with Him through the prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are persistent and who are steadfast with regards to the prayers. May Allah increase the quality, help us in increasing the quality of the prayers, because it is so essential, so that when we go to Him on the Day of Judgment and He looks at our record of prayers, it is actually accepted that we are not among the ones who are rejected. Ameen. Allah.